The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. He got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip.
God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was younger, I had a friend, her name was Amy, and Amy had what was called primary immunodeficiency. It was an autoimmune disorder that basically her body was not able to fight off infections. And so when she was very young, she was in the hospital a lot, and nobody knew what was wrong with her, and they did test after test and hospital after hospital until finally she got this diagnosis. And after receiving this diagnosis, they told her that she would be able to live a long and healthy life, except she'd have to go into the hospital every 2 or 3 weeks to get infusions of vitamins and antibiotics and basically to pump up her immune system. And she was very proud of this. In fact, she had what she called a permanent port in her arm, and it was one of the things she liked to show off to people, and it felt a little bit like a marble right here in her arm where they'd stick the needle in, so each time she went in for these infusions and therapies, they could just stick her right there, and it would load up. And I spent a lot of time with Amy at the hospital as she did these infusions, and we sat and we talked together, and we talked about lots of things, and it was a very sacred time for me, and I think for her, as we shared our stories, and their whole world was kind of shut out, because they would come in, they'd hook her up, and they'd walk away, and she'd be there for 5 or 6 hours, sometimes overnight. And I remember one time asking Amy, I said, "What's it like with this in your life? It's something you deal with all the time." And I remember she said to me, "It's like my body is in a wrestling match with itself." And she said, "As long as I remember that I'm in this wrestling match, I'm okay because I can keep the upper hand. But sometimes I forget that I have this thing. And sometimes I am living my life and I forget that I have this and then it gets the best of me. As long as I can remember that I have this disease, each and every day, I can stay on top of it. And I can make sure I wash my hands, and I can make sure that I keep away from people who are sick, and I can win the wrestling match." There's this powerful story in our scripture today, and as we read through it, we hear this story of Jacob, who's wrestling with what we think at first is a man or an angel, but then we learn that maybe this is Jacob wrestling with God. Because he names the place after "I've seen God face to face and survived." This story is crucial to the creation story because it separates the Hebrew people from their neighbors. Now, if you think about Greek and Roman mythology, you think that the image and place of God is up on a high mountain somewhere. God is physically and geographically separated from the people. Now, for the Hebrew people to say we have seen God face to face, it means that God dwells with them, next to them, beside them. This is very crucial to the story. The identity of God is revealed in this story, and the physical location are important. And the spiritual implications that we are meant to gain from this story are significant. We kind of have to go back in history and see that Jacob is the son of Abraham. And Jacob's name literally means heel, like the heel on your foot. Because as he and his brother were being born, Jacob reached out to grab the heel of his brother. They were born as twins. His brother Esau, which has an even worse name, his name just means hairy. Because apparently he was hairy when he was born. But Jacob and Esau, heel and hairy, essentially, don't get along well. They fight a lot. But in this story, as Jacob is wrestling, we have to go back. And why is Jacob even there in the first place? Well, it's because Jacob is on his way to meet up with Esau. After they've had some disagreements, he's on his way to meet up with Esau to see what is next in store for the two of them. And what Jacob is doing, he has a small group with him to meet Esau, and then he's got an even smaller group behind him just in case things go bad. So if things don't go well with this meetup with his brother, he's got an army behind him to come and destroy his brother. And they fight and they argue in the story. But then we have this situation where Jacob is up all night wrestling with God, this sort of physical and spiritual wrestling that's happening. And his name is changed to Israel, which is a word that literally means God wrestler or God warrior. This is important because Jacob later becomes the man who has 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. And if we fast forward all the way to the book of Matthew, we hear the story that from Abraham to King David, there's 14 generations. And from David to the time of the exile, there's 14 generations. And from the exile to the story of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus, there are 14 generations. So Jacob has a very important role to play in both the Hebrew and Christian story. Both this story on its small micro level and also the macro level are important. He's on his way to meet Esau with his two camps, just in case. And he has this kind of endurance match with God. And he's left with a limp. It's a defining moment in his life. But it gives him the courage to face his fears and choose love, not hatred or resentment. I think, at least for me, as I read this story, it makes me think about how we see God. Who is God to us? Is God a partner, a friend, a companion, a judge, a king, a lord over all lords, or a nagging wrestler who won't leave us alone? That sounds about right. A nagging wrestler who just won't leave us alone, even if we want to try and run away. But in the end, God will bless us even if we are scarred, even if we do have scars. I was once told that we have to understand that big wounds, we end up with some really great scars to show later. And now some of you probably have those stories where something really awful happened, either physically or emotionally, and in the moment it was like your world was ending. But later on, you were able to show those scars and say, look at this scar, or look at that scar, and it changed you, and it changed you from the inside out. I think that's what this story is telling us. But it's also telling us about a God who is as real as you and I, and a relationship with God that's just as frustrating and challenging as any relationship. Now, maybe you have this wonderful relationship with your kids and your spouse and your parents, but my guess is that most of you are in relationships that are challenging and frustrating at times and can sometimes feel like a wrestling match to see who wins. And don't start poking your spouse in the because you're just as guilty. But this story moves us in a direction. It moves us towards something and towards someone who tells us about love and forgiveness at whatever cost necessary. See, I don't know what the story was happening or what Jacob was really wrestling with, but I think what Jacob was wrestling with was taking the wrong road, was going out to meet his brother Esau and saying, this is it, we're finished, we're done, I'm tired of fighting with you, and I've got this army behind me that's ready to take care of you and all of your people. But this wrestling match moves him towards love, towards grace, towards forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we need this wrestling match because sometimes we don't want to. We don't want to give those people what we ought to. We want to give people what they deserve to seek vengeance and punishment. But if we go back to the story of Genesis, every moment in the book of Genesis is about creation. And every moment where God creates something, there's an opportunity to create more. Think about it for just a moment. God creates trees and people and animals, and all of those things are then creating life. Creation begets more creation. It has the power to create, to give more life, but sometimes it doesn't. But sometimes it does. Wrestling with God. Maybe you always love God and you never make mistakes. Maybe you've never cursed God's name for the loss of something or someone you love. Maybe you've had nothing but success and victory in your life. And maybe you've never struggled, wrestled, argued, bickered, denied, rejected, or forgotten God. But if you have, this might be your story. This might be the metaphor in which you understand God, to embrace the wrestling match. I don't think we're meant to blindly follow. I don't think that we're meant to ask no questions, but to challenge, to question, to critique, to resist. This is to truly love. There is beauty and meaning is found in this wrestling match. There is a story of struggle. The Bible can be seen in many different ways, and depending on how you see it, you can see the Bible as a story of a vengeful, angry God. You can see the Bible as a story of the lion laying down with the lamb, a story of grace and beauty. But the truth is, it's both. The Bible is about this tension. Genesis 32 becomes an operating metaphor for our co-creation with God. Creation is risky behavior. Life may not flourish, but it doesn't stop us from the desire and drive to continue to create, to give and to give, to show love and live love, even though it hurts. There's something I've learned in working with people who are at the end of their lives or who are dealing with difficult disease. It's that the desire and will to live is strong. That rarely do I find people who, at the end of their lives, say, I'm ready. Okay, it's all over from here. No, people want to live. They want to create. They want to go on. They want to move. This is the wrestling match, that even though life brings us down sometimes, there is this desire from God that's born in us to keep on creating, to keep on loving, to keep on going, to embrace pain, to know that wounds will at some point heal, and then we will have some great scars to show off in between wrestling matches. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, may we embrace the wrestling match. May we embrace the tensions and the struggles. And may we see that in the end, this is what gives us life and what provides us with meaning. The ability to come through those difficult times and show off our scars. And to realize that all wounds can heal. And you are a part of that process each and every day. We are not alone. You are with us, and we have one another. In your many names we pray, we gather, and we seek to live. Amen.